Welcome to the Ensign Preview for March 2010. This program includes condensed articles from the Ensign magazine. If you would like to hear the complete articles, they are available online at lds.org.
First Presidency Message, Moral Courage, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. One of the purposes of mortal life is to prove to God that we will keep His commandments when that takes courage. We passed that test in the spirit world. But a third of the hosts of heaven rebelled against the proposal that they be tested in a mortal existence, where there was a risk that they would fail. Before we were born, we knew God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, personally. We could see them and listen to them as they taught and encouraged us. Now a veil has been placed over our minds and memories. Satan, the father of lies, has an advantage because we must see the reality of who we are through the eyes of faith, while our bodies make us subject to carnal temptation and to physical weakness. We have great help to give us courage in this life. The greatest is the atonement of Jesus Christ. Because of what He did, sins can be washed away in the waters of baptism. We can renew that blessing when we partake of the sacrament in faith and with a repentant heart. Spiritual gifts are another help. We receive the Spirit of Christ at birth. That gives us the power to know when a choice before us would lead toward eternal life. The Scriptures are a sure guide when we read them with the Holy Ghost as our companion. The Holy Ghost lets us express thanks and ask for help in prayer with the clarity and confidence we once enjoyed with our Heavenly Father, and which we will have when we return to Him. That communication with God helps banish fear from our hearts, as it builds faith and love of Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. The Holy Priesthood gives us courage in our service. In its ordinances, we receive power to serve God's children and to withstand the influence of evil. When He calls us to serve, we have this promise: "And whoso receiveth you, there I will be also, for I will go before your face. I will be on your right hand and on your left, and my Spirit shall be in your hearts, and mine angels round about you to bear you up." The prophet Joseph Smith, in his service, had reason to be fearful. But God gave him courage with this assurance of the example of the Master: "And if thou shouldst be cast into the pit, or into the hands of murderers, and the sentence of death passed upon thee, if thou be cast into the deep, if the billowing surge conspire against thee, if fierce winds become thine enemy, if the heavens gather blackness, and all the elements combine to hedge up the way, and above all, if the very jaws of hell shall gape open the mouth wide after thee, know thou, my son, that all these things shall give thee experience, and shall be for thy good. The Son of Man hath descended below them all. Art thou greater than he?" God has given us more than enough help to banish fear and give us courage, whatever we may face in life. As we reach out for His help, He can lift us toward that eternal life we seek.
Visiting Teaching Message: Strengthening Faith in God the Father and Jesus Christ Through Personal Scripture Study. Teach these scriptures and quotations, or, if needed, Another principle that will bless the sisters you visit: bear testimony of the doctrine. Invite those you visit to share what they have felt and learned. When I was a new bride, I was invited to a lunch for all of the Relief Society sisters in my ward who had read either the Book of Mormon or a short church history book. I had become casual in my scripture reading, so I qualified to attend the luncheon by reading the short book because it was easier and took less time. As I was eating my lunch, I had a powerful feeling that though the history book was a good one, I should have read the Book of Mormon. The Holy Ghost was prompting me to change my scripture reading habits. That very day, I began to read the Book of Mormon, and I have never stopped. Because I started reading the scriptures daily, I have learned about my Heavenly Father, His Son, Jesus Christ, and what I need to do to be like them. Every woman can be a gospel doctrine instructor in her home, and every sister in the church needs gospel knowledge as a leader and teacher. If you have not already developed the habit of daily scripture study, start now and keep studying in order to be prepared for your responsibilities in this life and in the eternities. Julie B. Beck, Relief Society General President.
The Mormon Channel, featuring the Ensign Preview for March 2010.
Trials and Testimony by Elder Paul B. Piper of the 70. I testify that as we turn to our testimony of Him in times of crisis, we can find the strength to overcome all that we are asked to endure. While in exile on the island of Patmos, off the coast of present-day Turkey, the Apostle John received a visit from the risen Lord. In his vision, John was shown the trials the former-day saints were facing in Asia and the trials that latter-day saints would face in our time. He saw that the war that began in heaven continued in his day and would persist in our day. See Revelation chapter 12. For a time after baptism, our spiritual experiences are new and fresh in our minds. We feel the influence of the Spirit with us and the power and strength of our newfound testimony. Time passes, and the truths we have found become a routine part of our lives. We attend church, partake of the sacrament, and listen to lessons. We are comfortable with our lives, and all is well. But then it happens. Something upsets the rhythm of our lives. A crisis, a mistake, a temptation, a distraction. In a moment, life changes and we are left searching for answers. This is a critical time of decision. How will we react? Where will we look to find the answers we need? This is the moment when eternal destinies are forged in the quiet reaches of the heart and mind as we struggle to respond to a personal trial. At such moments, we can choose to remember the spiritual witnesses and testimony we have received and rely on the Lord to help us through the challenge in a way consistent with His teachings and commandments. Or we can discount the sacred whisperings we have received from the Spirit and turn to our own or another's wisdom for a solution. As John saw, in the end, only those who choose to rely consistently and completely on their testimonies will be able to overcome all things in mortality and stand worthily before God at the last day. A new convert to the church taught me this lesson and strengthened my faith. This woman was converted to the church in a land where the gospel was new. She gained a testimony of its truthfulness and embraced it with all her heart. The gospel brought her something she had known little of, hope. Her only son, who had struggled for years to overcome an addiction, began to attend church meetings with her and to change. Her heart rejoiced. She finally had hope that he could overcome his past and find happiness together with her. But then her trial came. One night he came home late after being out with old friends and engaging in old ways. By morning, he was dead. How would she react to her trial? Would the emotion of a mother grieving the loss of her only son overcome her? Would she begin to question her heavenly Father, as others did, wondering why he would let this happen? Would she become bitter and withdraw from the enlivening doctrines of the Restoration? No. She returned to the testimony she had received during her conversion and gave thanks to a loving Heavenly Father for bringing the gospel to her before the crisis so that she would have the strength to endure it. I testify that as we turn to our testimony of Him in times of crisis, we can find the strength to overcome all that we are asked to endure.
Truly Protected Us by Kevin D. Casper. On June 7, 1994, I was returning home by ferry with five other missionaries after a zone conference in Eastern Samar, Philippines. The night air was humid and heavy. After stowing our travel bags at our cots on the second level, four of us went to the front deck to escape the heat. Elders Dunford and Bermudez, however, stayed and went to sleep. I was conversing with Elder Kern when we heard a firecracker-like explosion from the starboard side. Suddenly flames fed by fuel from the engine room were consuming the back of the ship. Smoke filled the passageways, followed by a power outage that left the panicked passengers in the dark. The four of us on deck gathered together, praying for calm and clear thinking, and for the Spirit to guide us. Immediately afterward, Elder Valentine walked quickly back inside the ship, looking for life jackets. In the cabin, he met Elder Dunford, who gave him two life jackets and left to find Elder Bermudez. Then Elder Valentine found two more life jackets in the dark. Miraculously, despite the chaos, he made it down the passageway without anyone getting in his way, and he was back on deck in 20 seconds. By this time, the bow was crowded with passengers, and the flames were coming close. There was no other choice except to jump. We put on our life jackets and said a short prayer before plunging in. Elder Valentine was shoved by the panicked group behind us, but he hit the water unharmed 10 feet below. The area around the boat was well lit because of the fire, and we could hear the screams of people around us. The four of us regrouped a short distance from the boat amid the crowds that had also jumped and swam to get away from the burning three-level vessel. We prayed again, thanking our Father in Heaven for the protection we had received, and asked for help in finding our companions, Elder Dunford and Elder Bermudez. Elder Valentine saw them with life jackets, but we hadn't seen them on the deck. As the fire went out, the night became completely dark, and the waves were rolling, making it difficult for us to stay afloat even with the life jackets. Again we offered a prayer, this time asking for guidance to someone we could help. We soon found two women with children and an elderly man, and we took turns keeping everyone afloat. We managed until we found a small raft and put the passengers on it, but we felt others could use it, so we remained behind in the water. After 30 minutes, the wind picked up, rain started falling, and the already large waves grew. We were still not sure what had happened to the other elders and knew the storm would halt any rescue efforts. Elder Kern, acting as a voice for the group, prayed for the storm to calm and that the other elders would be protected. Within a few minutes, the storm was gone. We waited, awed by what we had witnessed, then heard Elder Dunford yelling out to Elder Kern. We shouted and swam towards them. Elders Dunford and Bermudez had managed to jump off the ship by climbing out a window, and they had two women without life jackets clinging to their backs. We stayed together for some time, then caught sight of fishing boat lights leaving the Guiwan shore area.
It was not long until one boat discovered us, but it was almost full, so we placed the two women in it and waited. We had been in the water for 2 hours when another boat found us and took us to shore. We made it to the missionary apartment in Guiwan in the early morning of June 8th, which was my 21st birthday. We prayed for the safe rescue of others still out in the sea, and again gave thanks to our Heavenly Father for the protection we had received. I will never forget this experience, and I hope never to forget the feeling of security we had throughout the whole ordeal. The Lord truly protected us. From this experience, I gained a greater testimony that the Lord is with His children always and grants us the peace and help we need during our trials.
Timely messages for our day, The Mormon Channel, featuring the Ensign Preview for March 2010.
We talk of Christ, Recognizing Gospel Light, by Yulia Fares. I would not say that I had no goals before I was baptized a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but I can say that my life had no clear direction. I sometimes felt as if I were walking in darkness, not really knowing which way to go. Like most other 19-year-olds in St. Petersburg, Russia, I hoped to someday get married, have children, and live happily ever after. Still, I wouldn't say that I exactly knew how to achieve this goal, especially the part about living happily ever after. But Heavenly Father knew. He knew that before I could attain real happiness, I needed to place Him and His Son at the center of my life. I started to learn how to do this not long before my 20th birthday, when the missionaries began to teach my family about how to find happiness through living the commandments. After we met the missionaries, it didn't take long for me to know what to do. I prayed and knew that if I wanted to meet my life's goals, I needed to be baptized a member of Jesus Christ Church. Following my baptism, I was ostracized by some friends and family members who couldn't understand why making this choice to follow Heavenly Father's plan was so important to me. Despite this, I was happy. I knew He was comforting me by allowing me to go through these trials with peace. By the time I turned 21, I had a strong desire to testify of the truthfulness of the gospel and share with others how resolving to live the commandments had changed my life, so I became a missionary. It felt wonderful to share with people what had happened to my life from the time I decided to put the gospel first. My life has been full of blessings since that time. 8 years ago, I was able to enter the temple and reach my goal of getting married. However, instead of only being married, I was sealed to my husband for eternity. Over the last several years, my goal of becoming a mother has also been fulfilled. I have been blessed with 3 wonderful sons. Not long ago, my family and I had the opportunity to visit a temple open house. As we walked through the temple, our 4-year-old son looked at me and said, "Mom, because you and Dad got married in the temple, our family is going to be together forever." I feel blessed and humbled to think of the last decade of my life. I am on my way to achieving my goal for a happily ever after, thanks to the fact that I turned my life to my Heavenly Father and to Jesus Christ. As long as I place them at the center of my life, I know I can achieve my goals. I know that Heavenly Father and the Savior love us and want to help.
What we believe. The Holy Ghost testifies of truth. The Holy Ghost is the third member of the Godhead. He is a personage of spirit without a body of flesh and bones. See Doctrine and Covenants, section 130, verse 22. He is often referred to as the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, or the Comforter. He works in perfect unity with Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ. As a personage of spirit, the Holy Ghost can be in only one place at a time, but His influence can be everywhere at the same time. President Joseph Fielding Smith taught,
Through the Holy Ghost, the truth is woven into the very fiber and sinews of the body, so that it cannot be forgotten. It is also through receiving the Holy Ghost, when we repent and are baptized, that we may be sanctified. Sanctification is the process of becoming free from sin, pure, clean, and holy, through the atonement of Jesus Christ. See Moses chapter 6, verses 59 through 60. We are sanctified as we yield our hearts to God. See Helaman chapter 3, verse 35. 1. The Holy Ghost witnesses of the Father and the Son. 2 Nephi 31, verse 18. It is only through the power of the Holy Ghost that we can receive a sure testimony of God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. 2. The Holy Ghost testifies of truth, and it is through His power that we may know the truth of all things. Moroni chapter 10, verse 5. 3. The Holy Ghost teaches us all things and brings to our remembrance all we have learned of the Lord and His gospel. See John chapter 14, verse 26. 4. The Holy Ghost will show unto us all things that we should do. 2 Nephi chapter 32, verse 5. He can guide us in our decisions and protect us from physical and spiritual danger. 5. As we hunger to know the words of eternal life and allow these words to sink deep into our hearts, the Holy Ghost will open our minds and hearts to greater light and understanding. 6. We are blessed with gifts of the Spirit through the Holy Ghost. These gifts bless our lives and the lives of those we love and serve. See 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, Moroni chapter 10, verses 8 through 18, and Doctrine and Covenants section 46, verses 11 through 33. The Holy Ghost is known as the Comforter because He can fill us with hope and perfect love. Moroni chapter 8, verse 26. 8. Adam was the first on earth to be baptized and receive the Holy Ghost. See Moses chapter 6, verses 64 through 66. 9. Through the power of the Holy Ghost, we become sanctified as we repent, are baptized and confirmed, and strive to obey God's commandments. See Mosiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. A safe haven in a world of chaos. The Mormon Channel, featuring the End Sign Preview for March 2010.
The Value of Experiencing and Expressing Gratitude by Vaughn E. Worthen, Ph.D., Associate Director, Counseling and Career Center, Brigham Young University. 16-year-old Louisa Meller Clark was the oldest living child of James and Mary Ann Meller, who crossed the plains in the Martin Handcart Company. Louisa recorded the following incident in her journal. The first snowstorm left about 2 feet of snow on the ground, and we began to feel very nervous. We had to wade through more streams, and sometimes up to our waists, and when we got through, our clothes would freeze on us until a great many gave up and many died, mostly old people. At last the snow got to be 4 and 5 feet deep, and often we had to shovel a road before we could move. Thus our traveling was very slow, and our provisions nearly gave out. My mother, still being weak, finally gave up and said she could go no further. The company could not wait for her, so she bade my father goodbye and kissed each one of the children Godspeed. Then my mother sat down on a boulder and wept. I told my sister, Elizabeth, to take good care of the twins and the rest of the family, that I would stay with Mother. I went a few yards away and prayed with faith that God would help us, that He would protect us from wolves, and that he would let us reach camp. As I was going back to where my mother was sitting, I found a pie in the road. I picked it up and gave it to Mother to eat. After resting a while, we started on our journey, thanking God for the blessings. A few miles before we reached camp, we met my father coming out to meet us. We arrived in camp at 10 p.m. Many times after that, Mother felt like giving up and quitting, but then she would remember how wonderful the Lord had been to spare her so many times, and offered a prayer of gratitude instead. So she went on her way, rejoicing, while walking the blood-stained path of snow. Mary Ann Miller's expressions of gratitude were not based simply on finding a life-sustaining pie, but on the recognition that God cared about her and her family and provided for them. That recognition gave her a deep sense of God's grace, and her gratitude became a daily expression of faith in Him.
Family Home Evening Ideas. Family Banner. Our family was inspired by Elder M. Russell Ballard's talk in the October 2005 General Conference. He called on families to make the family a proclamation to the world like a banner in their homes. We decided to take his admonition literally. On a piece of fabric, we wrote with a permanent marker, "Successful families are established on principles of faith, prayer, repentance, forgiveness, respect, love, compassion, work, and wholesome recreational activities." We tied the banner to a pole, and everyone signed the fabric. Now the banner is a regular part of our family home evenings. Our sons enjoy taking turns holding the banner high as we recite our family theme. Sometimes we even march around the room if our flag bearer is especially energetic. Having the banner routine has added feelings of joy and unity to our family home evenings. Every week, we're reminded of the true principles our family strives to achieve. Rena Fung, Hawaii. Read the value of experiencing and expressing gratitude. As part of the lesson, consider starting a family gratitude journal. For example, before family prayers each night, you could have each person share one thing from the day that they are grateful for and list these things in your journal. At the end of an appointed time period, such as a year, review the blessings your family has received. Read the article, "The Law of the Fast." Consider making a family plan for the next fast Sunday. Decide when the family will pray to begin and end the fast. Discuss what you might fast for and how you are blessed by sharing your testimonies during the fast. If a family member cannot go without food or water, discuss other ways he or she can participate.
This concludes the Ensign Preview for March 2010. If you would like to hear the complete articles, they are available online at lds.org.